This is Dr. Dana Smith, and welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith. Today, we're going to be talking about ways you can reduce your risk of developing breast cancer. Breast cancer prevention tips is our topic of today, so stay tuned. Welcome to Straight Talk with My OBMD podcast. Join me for a bi-weekly discussion on topics most relevant to women's health today. We are your source for medically accurate, real-world advice in all things related to your health and well-being as a woman. From menses to menopause, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, a fully practicing, board-certified OBGYN physician with close to 20 years experience. I am also the founder of the website that is 100% dedicated to women's health, myobmd.org. At myobmd.org, we write in all aspects related to women's health. Listen to our podcast, visit our website, subscribe to our newsletter, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, myobmd.org. Welcome back to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD. I'm your host, Dr. Dana Smith, founder of myobmd.org, the website dedicated 100% to your health. At myobmd.org, you'll find all topics related to your health. You can trust the information on myobmd.org because everything you see, read, and hear on that site are all contributed by physicians who take care of patients just like you. Please visit the website so you can learn more about myobmd.org, and you can let me know how we can serve you even better than we have been. So today, let's talk about breast cancer and particularly ways in which we can reduce our risk of getting breast cancer. And first, let's take a step back to focus on why this prevention is so incredibly important. Well, breast cancer is one of the most prevalent cancers worldwide. It's one of the leading causes of cancer death among women worldwide. We know that as a woman, your lifetime risk of developing breast cancer is 1 in 8. Compare that to a man's lifetime risk of developing breast cancer, which is 1 in 883. So the two main risk factors for breast cancer are being female and advancing age. So a lady who every year we get older and older, thank God, and we also get wiser, right, ladies? But each year, our risk of developing breast cancer increases. Now, there's nothing we can do about being a woman, right? Because that is just how we were made. And really, advancing age is a gift. So my point is, there are some risk factors that are outside of our control. So being a woman, advancing age, a family history, having a genetic predisposition to cancer, these are things that are outside of our control, and they do influence our risk. What I want to talk about today are the things that are within our control that can also influence our risk of developing or preventing breast cancer. So let's talk about those. So first, let's discuss what exactly is breast cancer. Now, cancer means a growth within your body that is abnormal. And that word cancer is also synonyms with malignancy. It means that the growth is sufficient that it can take over parts of your body, and it can metastasize, meaning it can spread to other organs. It has the ability to do that. So sometimes you can have a growth that are benign growths, Okay, they're usually slow growing, they're easily treated, and they don't spread. In cancers, the growths are typically rapid. They can consume the organ that they are growing in, and they can spread to other organs such to the point where your body does not function like it should. And that's what makes this condition so serious. The breast tissue is a very hormonally dependent tissue. And so the breasts are part of our body that we are susceptible to developing cancers within the breasts. However, there are things that we can do to control the risk of that development. First, let's talk just briefly about screening, right? So screening for cancer is one of the most effective ways to reduce your risk of dying from breast cancer. And the most effective form of screening available to us today is through a mammogram. And a mammogram is basically an X-ray of the breast. Mammograms are important because they allow us to detect cancers if they are present in its early stages. Cancers that are found in earlier stages are easier to treat, which means that the treatment being offered to you will be something that's easier for you to tolerate, as opposed to cancers that are found in their more advanced stage. And so screening for breast cancer by getting a mammogram is very important. And we have articles on our website that discuss the different screening methods, the recommendations depending on your age. That's all on the website about the importance of utilizing mammograms and other modalities for screening as a screening tool for breast cancer. 50% of the cases of breast cancers that are diagnosed, they have no discernible risk factors. 50% you'll identify a risk factor such as family history, such as they've had exposure to radiation, possibly as a child. They may have a genetic predisposition to a cancer. So in half of the cases, you'll find that you'll be able to identify why you may have developed breast cancer. But in half the cases, you cannot identify what exactly is the risk. But what I want to talk about right now is there are certain risks that we are aware of that we can actually, that we are actually in control of. So let's take a minute to talk about that. The first one is our weight. Now, we know that healthy weight has many, many benefits. In particular, it's good for our cardiovascular health. It's good for our joints. It's great for keeping our lipid and cholesterol levels within normal limits. And so there are many benefits to having a healthy weight. One of the benefits of having a healthy weight is that it actually reduces your risk of developing breast cancer. And so we know that when we're overweight, we have what's called the fat cells. They're called adipose, right? The adipose cells. Adipose cells tend to store estrogen. They tend to store estrogen. They hold on to estrogen. And they convert a lot of the things that we put in our body, they convert them into estrogen. And so if you're overweight or you have more adipose cells, you're going to have more estrogen circulating in your body. And because the breast tissue is so estrogen dependent and so hormonally dependent, it inherently increases your risk of developing breast cancer if you have more adipose tissue present. And so that translates into more into a higher weight. So the higher, the more obese you are, the higher your weight, the greater your risk of developing breast cancer, especially if you're in the menopausal age range. That holds true even more so than for ladies who are in the premenopausal or perimenopausal stages of life. So we know that having a healthy weight can help in so many ways, help reduces your risk of hypertension, heart disease, and also certain cancers, including breast cancer. So that is one way in which we can modify our risk of developing breast cancer, is by achieving and maintaining a healthy weight. Now, a healthy weight is typically defined as a BMI, which is a body mass index of 18 to 25. So if your BMI is higher than 25, you may want to consider ways in which you will reduce that. If your BMI is 30 or greater, that's considered obese, and you definitely want to bring that down. BMIs of 25 to 29.9 is considered overweight, and BMIs 30 or greater is considered obese. And the obese category, your risks are just higher, okay? So if you do have that struggle, that is something that you may want to consider as means of not just staying healthy through weight, but also you have that added benefit of just reducing your risk of developing breast cancer. So it's a win-win. Another way in which we can reduce our risk of developing breast cancer is if you smoke, stop smoking. Okay? Quitting tobacco is one of the most positive ways that you can impact your health. Tobacco is a known carcinogen. We know that tobacco is directly linked to lung cancers. It's directly linked to throat cancers, head and neck, liver, and even cervical cancers. And so now we also know that there's a link between tobacco and breast cancer. That evidence is emerging, but it does make sense given what we know about the history of tobacco use. Tobacco use is really quite damaging to your health in so many ways, your cardiovascular health, your pulmonary function, and now we know that it definitely increases your risk of many cancers, including breast cancers. Now, one of the reasons I say that the evidence regarding tobacco and breast cancer is emerging is because when we look at ladies who smoke, it is not uncommon for ladies who smoke to also drink alcohol. And alcohol is also a known carcinogen and a way in which we know breast cancer can develop. So if you smoke and you drink, sometimes it's hard to say which one is contributing more to a breast cancer diagnosis. Is it the alcohol? Is it the tobacco? So definitely you want to quit tobacco first and foremost. If you have both of those habits and you want to tackle one, truly tobacco, you would get the biggest bang for your buck as far as the positive change in your health. Alcohol consumption, yes, alcohol consumption is also linked to an increased risk of breast cancer. The studies have shown that even ladies who drink small volume of alcohol, which is defined as less than one drink per day, you still see an increase in your risk of breast cancer. Now, mind you, the more you drink, the higher your risk. So I'm not saying, hey, if you drink one per day, I don't want you to have the mindset that, oh, I drink one per day, my risk is increased, I might as well drink three or four per day. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's an additive risk, and even having the one drink per day does not eliminate that risk. So alcohol and tobacco are definitely linked to your risk of developing breast cancer. One particular type of drinking pattern I want to point out is binge drinking. So the binge drinker is the person who really may not drink any alcohol for a month. And then they have some occasion, for whatever reason, they decide, hey, I just feel like drinking today. And now they are going to go and drink 6 alcoholic beverages in one setting. That is the definition of a binge drinker. That's the definition of binge drinking, rather. And so that pattern is also associated with an increased risk of developing breast cancer. And so the binge drinking or moderate doses of alcohol, even low doses of alcohol, any alcohol consumption is associated with some increased risk of breast cancer. Now, if you enjoy your occasional glass of wine and you have, you feel like, hey, I want to continue doing this, then fine, by all means. But we should always be aware of the impact on our health of our habits, right? So at least you'll be aware, and that's something that you can keep in mind, and that is something you can monitor so that it will not have an untoward effect on your health, and you can still possibly enjoy this in mild volumes or moderate volumes. So that is a personal decision. For some people, they may say, hey, I don't want to have this risk. I have a strong family history. I don't want to do anything at all that will tilt the scale in favor of a breast cancer, and so I'm not going to drink at all. And you have some other people that says, hey, I don't do anything else. I really enjoy just having an occasional spirit, and so I'm going to continue to do this. I'll just monitor it and make sure it's in very low volumes. And so it really does become a personal decision, but we still need to know what the risks are so that you can make informed decision that is best for you and your health. The third thing is a low-fat diet. So a healthy low-fat diet, again, this is just part of being healthy. It has numerous health benefits, right? Low-fat diet, it reduces your risk of colon cancer, first of all. Low-fat diet with low in red meat in particular definitely decreases your risk of developing colon cancer. And it is thought that it also reduces your risk of developing breast cancer. And so when we are choosing what to eat, what to prepare, the meals we prepare for ourselves and our family, we can keep that in mind that, hey, we already know that plant-based diets are quite healthy. They have so many benefits. Now, we also know that an added benefit is that you are reducing the risk of breast cancer for yourself and also for other family members, especially female family members, such as maybe you have daughters or nieces that you may be preparing meals for. Just keep in mind that lowering your intake of fat, and in particular red meat, is associated with a reduced risk of you developing breast cancer. Now, the fourth thing that is 100% within our control is the increased estrogen levels, right? So we know that women who are exposed to hormone a lot more than men, because when you're younger, a lot of ladies, we do birth control pills, and that can be hormonal or non-hormonal. But by far, hormonal types of birth control are more frequently used than the non-hormonal types of birth control. And when you're menopausal, you may choose to go on hormonal replacement therapy. So let's say you are premenopausal and you take birth control pills. We know that the association between birth control pills and breast cancer have been studied. This is what it found. It is not 100% conclusive. Some studies have found that there has been no association between the use of birth control pills and developing breast cancer. However, there are other studies that have found that there is a low risk of women who use birth control pills eventually developing breast cancer. The studies that have found a positive association, meaning that the risk does exist, those studies have shown that the risk of developing breast cancer is typically while using the birth control pills, and the risk decreases after you have stopped using birth control pills. So each year that you're no longer using a birth control pill, your risk is decreased. Up to 10 years after you have stopped using the birth control pill, your risk is then back to its average risk as if you had not used the birth control pills. So again, just to summarize, for the use of birth control pills, some studies have shown no association between the birth control pills and breast cancer. Other studies have shown some association, a very slight increased risk of developing breast cancer. The risk is present while you're taking the birth control pills, and the risk decreases after the use of birth control pills has stopped. And up to 10 years after, at 10 years after you have stopped taking birth control pills, the risk is back to your regular risk. It's as if you had not used the birth control pills before. So just to be aware of that, that you may have a small chance, you may have a small increased risk of developing breast cancer while you're on the birth control pills or within the 10 years after you have stopped taking it. Now, for the menopausal lady who has chosen to take hormone replacement therapy, that also is a factor that influences your breast cancer risk. We know that ladies who have a uterus, so if you have a uterus and you are taking hormone replacement therapy, you are going to be taking two different hormones. You're going to take estrogen, but you also have to take progesterone. The progesterone is necessary to reduce your risk of endometrial cancer. If you take estrogen alone, the risk of endometrial cancer is quite high. And so we always do these hormones in combination for women that have a uterus. So women that have a uterus, you are always treated with estrogen plus progesterone in some fashion. Now, the studies, there was a landmark study years back that involved nurses. It was called the Women's Health Initiative Study. And in that study, it showed that ladies who were taking the estrogen and progesterone estrogen and progesterone hormone replacement therapy, that they did have an increased risk of developing breast cancer. In fact, the study was stopped prematurely because they found that the risk was too high to continue the study and subjecting the ladies in the study to that risk. And so we know that having that hormone replacement does have a slight increase, does infer some increased risk in the development of breast cancer. Now, here's the argument that some have argued. The study was done years ago, which is correct. Since the timing of that study and the recognition that there is that increased risk, a lot of manufacturers have drastically reduced the amount of hormones present in the hormone replacement therapy. And so some argue that, hey, that study did show that increased risk. However, current day hormone therapy are using just a small fraction of the hormones that were used back then in the Women's Health Initiative study. And so that risk may not be the same. That is true. It may not be the same. Unfortunately, we really don't have more recent studies to show exactly what that risk is. So the most recent studies are the studies done years back that showed an increased risk with the use of the hormone replacement therapy. Now, if you do not have a uterus and you are menopausal and you decide to do hormone replacement therapy, that will come in the form of estrogen therapy only. And estrogen therapy, if you choose to do estrogen therapy with, there won't be any need for any progesterone. The estrogen therapy patients, they actually did not show such an increased risk of developing breast cancer, which was surprising. It was a little bit of a paradoxical finding, but we know that the studies did not show that the risk of developing breast cancer was as high in the estrogen-only patients as they were in the patients that were taking estrogen and progesterone. Mind you, this doesn't mean that there is not an increased risk. We know that in general, women who take hormone replacement therapy, especially if you take it for years and years and years, your risk of developing breast cancer will increase. So this is not to say that, hey, if you just take estrogen, you can do so and not worry about your breast cancer risk. That is not true. It's just that you don't have, the risk is not as high as it had been shown for the ladies who were taking estrogen and progesterone. So all forms of hormone therapy you do want to be careful of, especially for the estrogen progesterone group. Few other things that influence your breast cancer risk that we can control involves our reproductive choices, right? So if you choose not to have a child, you haven't given birth, your breast cancer risk is higher compared to the lady who has chosen to have a child. So we just feel that when you're pregnant, you actually have some suppression of your hormones. And so that gives your body a break. And so your risk of developing breast cancer actually decreases when you've had a history of being pregnant and giving birth. If you have a history of pregnancy and they've ended in miscarriages or terminations, that protective risk is not seen. The protective risk of reduced risk of developing breast cancer is seen when you actually have given birth, whether full term or preterm birth, but you have actually had a pregnancy that went to term, close to term, that resulted in you giving birth to a child. The other reproductive factor that influences our breast cancer risk is the age at which you have your first child. So if you have your first child at an older age, then that risk of breast cancer is increased compared to the woman who has their first child at a younger age. Now, mind you, most people, when they're planning their family, this is not something you take into account. Like, okay, I want to reduce my risk of breast cancer, so I'm going to have my first baby at age 20. That just does not happen, right? But again, it's just useful to have knowledge of these facts so that when you are deciding on when to start your mammogram screening, when to look at other factors of screening, you can keep this in mind. You can say, you know, well, you know, I have a family history. I had my first child at age 35. I have a history of smoking or alcohol use. So these are things that you can keep in mind, and you can go to your doctor and say, hey, I know that maybe typically you start screening, mammogram screening at this particular age, age 40, 45, whatever it is that you and your doctor have decided. But given my history, do you think I need to start earlier? So again, this is just knowledge to empower you to have a more meaningful discussion with your physician so you can make the right health choices for you. Because there is no such thing as one size fits all. We all have to be cognizant of our own body, our own risk factors, and advocate for ourselves during these discussions, because frankly, your doctor may not be fully aware of all of your risks as you are, because you have known yourself a much longer time than we have. So having a baby at an older age is associated with a slight increased risk of developing breast cancer compared to the lady that has a baby at a younger age. The other thing that influences our risk of breast cancer is physical activity. So women who are physically active and have a reduced risk of breast cancer compared to ladies who are sedentary. So this is really not just a matter of weight control. We feel that when you're physically active and you're kind of moving around, you're actually reducing your body's level of things, of hormones such as estrogen and insulin-like growth factor. And having fewer of those hormones circulating in your body reduces the risk of those hormones now affecting the breast tissue and causing some cancer cells to grow. So physical activity, regardless of your weight, is a protective factor in the fight against breast cancer. And the last risk factor I wanted to talk about is something that we may not have thought about, is night shift work. Yes, working the night shift. Working the night shift can increase your risk of developing breast cancer. Why is that? So first, let's take a step back. There's one international organization and one national organization that have found that working the night shift increases your risk of developing breast cancer. And in men, it increases the risk of developing prostate cancer. Now, the studies have done some digging to figure out, you know, why is it that that is the case? And what the theory at this point is that at nighttime, if you are sleeping at night, your body is releasing a hormone called melatonin. Melatonin doesn't just, it allows us to sleep, right? Because some of you may be familiar with the melatonin tablets that helps you sleep. Well, the melatonin, it does the same thing. It helps you to sleep. But what we also know, the other function of melatonin is that it helps cellular regulation. So it helps the cells to stay healthy so that they are less susceptible to cancer activity. So when you are not sleeping at night and you are exposed to light, your body's melatonin production decreases, right? Because you need that darkness and the rest to release the melatonin. So when you're not sleeping at night, you have the light exposure, it prevents the release of the melatonin. And so you don't have that protective factor of cellular regulation from that increased melatonin levels. And so with years and years of this, when as the melatonin levels are just, your body's getting less and less melatonin levels over years, then eventually there is going to be some increased risk of cancer, breast cancer in the woman and prostate cancer in men. And so again, these are just some things to consider. If you have a strong family history, you're concerned that your risk of breast cancer is already high. Do you really want to take a night shift? You know, do you really want to do a night shift work? Or maybe it would be a smarter decision to work during the daytime if that is an option that is available to you. So again, these are just information to empower you so that you can make decisions in life that are tilting the scale towards a more positive outcome and not unknowingly making decisions that may be causing harm in the long run. So some of the things I want to point out that does not affect your risk of developing breast cancer or whether or not it are, here are a few of the things that I just want to point out that does not affect your risk of developing breast cancer. So first is abortion. Having an abortion, it has no impact on your risk of developing breast cancer. The use of antioxidants, again, of no consequence. Having your tubes tied, having a tubal ligation reduces your risk of developing ovarian cancer. It does not reduce your risk of developing breast cancer. In vitro fertilization, again, yes, you are exposed to hormones during IVF, but if you've done short cycles and they're not for extended periods of time, we really do not feel, the evidence is not there to support that that activity will increase your risk of developing breast cancer. Having breast implants, no, that does not increase your risk of developing breast cancer. It can make imaging a little bit more challenging, but there are tools to get around that. So no, inherently having a breast implant does not increase your risk. And finally, hair dyes. Hair dyes, you may hear people say, oh, don't dye your hair. You're, you have, you know, breast cancer. Thankfully, that is not true. So I can safely dye all my grays. So, yeah, those are just some of the things that we kind of wanted to share with you today so you can feel empowered and knowledged about ways to reduce your risk of having breast cancer. Breast cancer is a very serious illness. You may know someone affected by it. You yourself may have been affected by it. We know that there are things that we can do to empower ourselves for prevention and for early detection. And so let's focus on these, okay? So it has been my pleasure and my honor to discuss this topic with you of ways you can reduce your risk of developing breast cancer. I hope you found this helpful. As always, all this information and much more can be found on our website at myobmd.org, and that's myobmd.org. And I'm Dr. Dana Smith. Again, it's been a pleasure, and I cannot wait to talk to you on the next podcast. Thank you for listening to another episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD Podcast. To learn more about this topic, visit our website at myobmd.org. Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I can't wait to spend more time with you on our next episode of Straight Talk with My OBMD.